Welcome to another edition of On The Record. I'm Mike Graham, you are...
I am Mike Porky Parry.
Indeed you are. We are together, the two mics, of course, and you can find your way to all of the history of On The Record by going through the back catalogue, which is available online. It's available through Audio Boom. It's available on iTunes, Acast, all kinds of other places. Don't forget, if you haven't done it yet, go to thetwomics.tv and sign up, because very soon there's going to be a podcast on there as well. But also, loads of great clips, the Fleet Street Tales.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the Mike Graham Kitchen, which has proven to be very successful. Do you know, a guy over the weekend texted me, a couple of people have actually tweeted me, to say, oh, we tried your meatball recipe, we really, the kids loved it,
really?
It was really great.
They tried your recipe?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we publish the recipes?
Well, actually, no, because what they can do, because, it's, because it's so informative in the way that we explain it, that they can see all the ingredients that they need.
Right.
Some people have said, why don't you publish the recipes as well? I can do. It's indeed
Well, maybe we'll put those in a cookbook.
Yeah, I think a cookbook would be good. I think a cookbook would be very good.
I think that's very good. Now, how about this, OK?
Yeah.
And it'll come to this country. It started in Japan. It'll come to this country. Hey. Models earn £60 an hour in Japan by shaving their armpits, wearing sleeveless clothes, and then strap hanging on the tube in Tokyo with adverts tattooed into their armpits.
No.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. £60 an hour by having ads stenciled into their armpits and then going on to the tube or the,
well,
the
you'd
subway.
You'd have to be pretty uptight and close to somebody to read their armpit, wouldn't you?
Well, they are. Don't you know it? In Japanese, in the Japanese underground, they actually employ people whose job is to barge from behind commuters onto the trains.
Haven't they got that big brush that they shove people on with?
Yeah, they have, brush and shoulder charges and everything. Right. So, I mean, you know...
Yeah, but hang on. If you're, I mean, I've been on busy trains a lot. In the last, say, year. Because sometimes the train in the morning, the tube that I go in the morning, is absolutely packed. And you're quite often up against people, but you can't actually... I mean, like, women particularly would be smaller than me, right?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to look at their armpit.
Yeah, but if they've got their hand up and their strap hanging, you know, as we've
seen many times...
Well, you know, a lot of weird things happen in the world.
Yeah.
But that is exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Now,
I wouldn't fancy it.
You you may have come across the fact that within the last week or two, certainly in the last month, which was July, right? The 80th anniversary of the Beaner came around.
I did see that, yeah.
And guess what?
Go on.
So many people contacted me and said... Was Dennis the Menace actually modelled on your visage? They think you look like Dennis the Menace.
I don't look like anything like Dennis
the
Menace.
You do.
You see, the trouble is, a lot of people make the mistake.
You do. Honest to God, I've got an image here of him. Look, you do actually look like Dennis the Menace. Yeah, when your hair was a bit, when your hair was a bit darker, when you were a bit younger before you went grey.
No, I haven't got grey.
Yeah, yeah.
I've only got a little bit of grey actually, considering. No, here's the thing. You have managed to convince people, right, that I've always looked like this, right?
Yes.
I, for many, many long years, didn't look anything like the way I look now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't used to wear glasses, right? Whenever I take my glasses off, people go, oh, you look completely different.
Yeah.
I only started wearing glasses, right, when I was in my 40s.
Really?
When you met me, when you met me in New York, right, all those years ago, back in 1983, I didn't wear glasses.
That's because most of the time you're blind drunk and didn't need
them. Well, you were mostly blind drunk, but also I was very skinny. I got fat living in New York, right? When I first moved to New York, I was 23 years old. I looked like I was in a rock band, right? That's how skinny I was. I used to wear the skinny ties.
Really?
I used to wear leather ties.
Okay.
I used to wear a very sort of Oxfam-y sort of chic jacket.
Yes.
Right? And collars that were tiny.
Yeah.
And I used to have, you know, obviously an English accent. And people would ask me all the time, hey, are you in a band?
Yeah, are you in a band?
Sometimes I used to say I was.
Yeah, exactly. I don't blame you. That's a good way of... seeking affection
indeed
from members of the opposite sex.
I'm not talking about women taking their underwear off in the cinema either.
Well, you know, that shocked me. It absolutely shocked me.
That's a shocking story.
Better get out of here.
You told that story on the last podcast.
What?
You told that story in the last podcast.
Yeah, I did,
and it's quite shocking. It shocked me, actually.
It is quite shocking, but I've had a bit of a reverberation since that came out, you know, from people saying it
what
was a very...
Mean?
Well, it's very common practice, apparently, in those days.
What, going into the cinema and taking your underwear off?
Well, apparently, if you went out with your girlfriend and you're going to the cinema and she turned up in trousers... It was bad news.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, see.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't want to get into that, you know, because that's too much information.
Yeah, that is a bit too
Now, talking about all that, right, have you come across the fact that for a long, long time it's been difficult for monks and nuns to live decent lives and contain their natural sexual urges? No, it has. It has, Mike.
Well, that's the whole point.
One.
You don't join the fucking nunnery, right, if you have sex with a man, do you?
No, no. One of the five basic instincts in... The five basic instincts in life are...
Basic instincts.
Basic instincts are
like
to breathe...
That Sharon Stone was in.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Like that. No, I'm not going there. Now, it is that you breathe.
Yeah.
You eat.
Eat.
You sleep.
Sleep.
You have a sense of taste. Right. Or is that eating? That's eating.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. So, and the fifth one is sexual awareness, right?
Well, hang on, that's only four.
No, that's five.
We'll try again.
You breathe.
Yeah.
You eat.
Yeah.
You taste.
Yeah.
You see.
No, the tasting is eating is the same.
Tasting is the same. Right, okay, so hang on. So
you'll never get to five.
No, we will. We will. You breathe.
Yeah. One.
You have a sense of feel.
Feel.
Feel, yes,
two.
That's right, two. You taste, you taste and eat.
Right.
The fourth one is...
Hearing?
You hear. You hear and see. You hear and see, that's one.
Well, hear and see is two. That's five already.
No. And then
I don't think you've done this research
properly. No. And then the fifth one is the sense of sexual need. Sexual need, yeah.
Do you have that?
Well, you know, I managed to contain most of my instincts very well.
Well done.
Now, what's happened is, since the Me Too campaign started, and that was all down to, what's his name?
Well, it wasn't just Harvey Weinstein. It started by a woman, wasn't it? A Hollywood actress who had done movies with Weinstein.
Yes.
And I think she's one of those who is now involved in a prosecution against him.
Yes, that's right.
Her name escapes me.
I've never quite understood Me Too. What does Me Too mean?
Well, basically started as a movement of women had, once they'd heard a story by another woman saying that they'd been sexually harassed or assaulted,
right,
they said, oh, it's happened to me as well.
No, me too.
So it became Me Too. So,
right.
I mean, I was actually staggered at the beginning of that campaign to find how many women had had problems with sexual harassment.
Right.
You know, because I don't go around sexually harassing women.
No.
And neither do you.
No, absolutely.
You know, any involvement with women that we have had over the years has not been in any way forced or in any way unwanted.
Indeed.
You know, in fact, it'd be live quite often encouraged.
Indeed, but anyway, listen.
Well, never mind, but anyway, I'm just telling you something. So you asked me a question.
Yeah, well, I'm going to follow on now to your answer.
Right. So the point is that, you know, I was actually staggered how many creeps there are out there.
Men, a lot of creeps.
Who
a lot
are
of creeps.
Absolutely horrible to women.
Now, guess who the latest group of people to get into the Me Too campaign are?
Nuns.
Nuns, absolutely right. Yeah. Nuns are increasingly coming forward with claims of sexual abuse by Catholic priests and bishops.
Christ.
So even the bishops, who are the House of Lords of the church, aren't they?
Well, hang on.
Have been going around rogerizing nuns.
No, specifically they mean Catholic bishops, right?
Hey?
Catholic bishops are not in the House of Lords, are they? I think it's only church.
No, I'm saying think of the House of Lords in terms of the elevated levels. No,
the people in the House of Lords.
I'm certainly not accusing
them of
the House
of Lords.
Thank God for that. What I'm saying is, in the elevated hierarchy of the Church of England, bishops are like the House of Lords in politics.
Well,
I
went to Catholic school, right?
Yeah.
Both primary and secondary.
Right.
And in the primary school, we had nuns.
Yeah.
And every so often, the cardinal would come and pay a visit.
Yes.
Because in the Catholic Church, the cardinal is the big kind of, you know.
The cardinal.
Big name. And
I am the cardinal.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
No, well, do as I tell you.
Well, all I could ever think about was, like, Cardinal Richelieu.
Yeah, Cardinal Richelieu, he used to go around torturing people.
Yeah, he was really evil.
Yeah, he was evil.
Horrible,
I mean, he was kind of the French equivalent of the Spanish Inquisition, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Red hot pokers up the jacksie and all that, you know what I mean?
The Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
However, I'm not suggesting for a minute, obviously, that these nuns, who were part of the school, there was a convent. It was a convent school, and they were, some of them were really cruel.
Yes.
And we had one, right, and when I was in class 8, which was the year I was about 7 years of age, she used to hit you across the hands with a ruler.
Oh, horrible.
I mean, really cruel.
Horrible.
You know?
Because, you know...
she was called Sister
Isabel. Sister Isabel. You know, a couple of episodes ago, we did a Porky Vision.
Uh-huh.
If I'd have had time, and I might do it in the next Porky Vision, I'd have done Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Oh, do you know what? That was a great movie, that.
Oh, I'm telling you, the series is on now.
What I didn't know, right, was that they'd made a series, because I was going to watch it, and then I realised it wasn't the film.
Well, me being a TV reviewer, I have to watch these things.
But wasn't the original film starring the woman from...
Who?
Wasn't it the woman from The Railway Children, Jenny Agutter? Was she not in it?
I'm not sure about that,
she was in Walkabout, I think.
But the modern one, they whip the girls over the palms of their hands with a cane
if
they misbehave and all that. And you know, young girls aged 18...
That's horrible.
..in a finishing school in Australia, and all the parents are very rich and have sent them there to get rid of them.
Right.
You know, they like a bit of action.
Doesn't someone disappear?
three of the girls disappear in Hanging Rock. Right. That's the whole point of the story.
And it's not called that anymore, is it?
It's called...
Isn't it Uluru?
No, it's not the famous rock. This is Hanging Rock. It's a different place altogether.
Okay.
Hanging Rock is like, you know, a mountain near Sydney where the school was and all that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But anyway, get that later.
That. What's that going to do with the nuns?
Well, I'm just about to say that, I mean, you know, it was almost like a nunnery. The finishing school. The girls finishing school.
So where is this nunnery story coming from?
Let me tell you. Sisters are speaking up thanks to the Me Too campaign and encouraging women to report crimes. Many have previously been silenced by the church's culture of secrecy, but a nun in India recently filed a formal police complaint accusing the bishop of raping her.
Blimey.
I mean, you know, it's just shocking
stuff. That's not good, is it?
Right. A Vatican official said the church has focused much of its attention on protecting children, but vulnerable adults deserve the same protection.
Well, they do.
And meanwhile, Pope Francis, is that the current Pope?
I think it is. He's the Argentinian, isn't he?
Argentinian guy, yeah.
The football guy.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Well, I mean, he's interested in football. He comes, I think, from Mendoza, doesn't he? Same place as...
Mendoza.
Does he not come from the same place as Lionel Messi?
He might do.
You know,
he might
like
do,
the
yeah.
new and old boys and all that.
He could be. Yeah. But anyway, he says, yes, they accepted the resignation of US Cardinal Theodore McCarrick.
I thought he's the one that said he doesn't remember doing any of it, right?
Well, he's 88, so he probably doesn't, you know. But anyway, listen.
That's
a
shocking story, that.
It's a shocking story. But the reason why I brought that up is because I have to tell you another shocking story about my time at a particular national newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And one of our colleagues, certainly one of my colleagues in those days, and I'm not going to name this name because this is too hurtful to the family and all that kind of stuff. However, he's now
to his
dead.
Family?
To his family.
No, finally you're seeing the light on these things, because normally you don't care about hurting the family.
Well, I don't think you should in this occasion.
Okay.
Now, this guy's dead, right? But he was a bit of a boy.
Was he?
Put it that way. And he used to put himself around a bit, and he used to associate with women who were not his wife.
Really?
So anyway, he comes in one morning when I was the news editor, of course, the chief supremo, and he said, I've got a fantastic story. I said, oh yeah, what's that? He said, I've come across, and I can't say how, an escort stroke, you know, lady who does favours for money type thing.
A prostitute.
I don't want to call her a prostitute. Right. I don't want to call her a prostitute.
Okay. Well, an escort's good enough.
An escort. And whilst I was engaged in physical activity with this escort...
Did everyone talk like that in those days?
Yeah, maybe. While I was engaged in physical activity with this lady... Uh-huh. I looked up while she was making some noises, you know.
Right.
And I saw a picture of a nun in a framed picture on her wall.
Okay.
And when we'd finished the physical activity, we were having a cigarette.
Yes.
And I said, why have you got a picture of a nun on your wall? Right. She said, well, that's me.
Wasn't that woman from Utah, was it? That crazy woman from Utah.
No.
The naked skier, whatever it was.
Yeah. I'd have skied down Mount Sanso with a carnation in my
she
nose.
She was a nun, wasn't she?
Was a member of the royal family involved with that?
I think it was.
I think she was stalking a member of the royal family.
I can't remember, but what was her name?
Somebody?
What was her name?
Yeah.
But she was from Utah.
Yeah, she was from Utah. She was a Mormon.
I mean, I can see her.
Yeah, I can see her now. Blonde girl with big rubbery red lips and all that
well,
kind of stuff. Yeah, and all kind of stuff.
Yeah, but she posed naked, I seem to remember.
What she did is she stalked some businessman in London and ended up in court on harassment charges.
That's right, yeah.
And said, I'd have skied down Mount whatever
it was.
Didn't
she shag somebody famous as well?
I think a member of the royal family might have been involved.
I'm not sure.
Like a minor member of the royal family or something. Yeah. Anyway, so...
Yeah.
So this person...
So this was just a different person altogether. Just
a completely different person.
Common and garden nun.
And he said, what? She said, I used to be a nun. She said, why did you give it up? She said, well, you know, so many people within the church don't stick to their vows.
Yeah.
And so I decided to get out. Right, okay, but you're an escort now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a much better life, honestly, you know. Instead of giving myself to God, I now give myself to man.
Right.
But, I mean, really should have used the plural, like men, you know what I mean?
I suppose you should have done, That's a shocker, isn't it?
Anyway, this story appeared in the particular newspaper I was working for. And I
what was the story? So, so-and-so, the escort, used to be a nun.
Yes, that's right, that's right, We couldn't say how we got the story, you know, we had to...
Did he use the picture?
Yes, we used the picture,
How'd you get that?
Well, the particular reporter who came in and said, right, you've got to go back for a second session and steal the picture.
So you didn't pay her or anything?
No.
You nicked the picture?
Yes.
See, that's a shocking admission.
Well, no, it's not really.
That's now against the law, you know that,
what
right?
do you mean? What do you mean?
One, you can't blag stuff, right? Well, you can't take people's possessions and publish them. It's a massive invasion of privacy.
If it had been these days, all you'd have to do would be to say to said escort, could you go and get me a glass of champagne, please?
Yeah.
And then you whip out your phone, you take a picture of it, and you've got the picture,
well,
right?
Well, that'd be different.
Well, you can't do it these days. Yeah. You can't do it in those days. In those days,
but even now, though, you couldn't take a picture like that and then just publish it.
Well,
because it's an invasion of her privacy.
Well,
I know that sounds mad compared to the way you and I work, but that's the way it is.
But anyway, it worked out well for her because so I got somebody around there to steal the picture.
How did it work out well for her?
Well, I'm about to tell you. So we used the picture, and the paper I was working on was not necessarily the biggest paper in the country at the time.
Right.
There was a bigger paper.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the bigger paper was The Sun, which had a huge budget and all that.
Yeah.
So the minute they saw the story in our paper, right, one of their guys rang up said reporter, because reporters are very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Helpful.
No, what's the word when you work for an army on the basis of a hired soldier?
Like a mercenary.
Mercenary, type. Very mercenary. Yeah. So they got through to the newsroom, you know, can we speak to, you know, reporter X, so to speak. And they said, that's a great story. We need that picture.
Yeah.
He gave them the address.
Right.
They went round there.
They paid him?
Yes, they paid him £1,000.
Right.
They paid him £1,000just to...
Just for the info.
Just for the info, for the address of where this woman lived, right?
Right.
They then went round there, did it completely straightforward and properly, and paid her £10,000 to actually...
To do
it
naked.
Properly. Yeah. Well, not quite naked, but semi-naked. Lying on a chaise lounge, you know, talking about my life as a nun and now my life as an escort.
Yeah.
Did it completely properly.
Right.
In a way, the paper I worked with, which was a middle ground paper, couldn't have done because it would have been so salacious.
Yes.
The way we wrote it was, this poor woman has lost her way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What they wrote was, this great woman has found a way to make an awful lot of money, you know. And
absolutely.
And after that, of course, the subsequent story they ran was that from then on, a lot of her clients would turn up with nuns' outfits and ask her to put them on, and during the act.
During the act,
you know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
And all that kind of stuff.
Sister act. Yes, yeah, movie sister with Whoopi Goldberg.
Quite disgraceful.
So
right now
we haven't got a lot of time left.
We haven't, but look, I'm going to sing a little song to you, because I haven't sung for a long time, okay?
You haven't sung for a long
time. No, I haven't sung for a long time, okay?
What do you want to sing?
Because this is a great story I've come across in one of my literary journals, okay?
All right.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. And you could hear them singing, na, na.
Yeah.
Now, who sung that?
Now, I can tell you that that is not only a song that I know well.
Right.
However, it's proof positive, if ever were needed, that Paul McCartney, when he left the Beatles, turned into a complete and utter wally.
Well, he went
because,
mad.
He's now putting fucking nursery rhymes to music.
I'm sure he went mad.
Yeah.
You won't believe this.
That was a famous Paul McCartney song, which I think made it into the charts.
It did.
But, I mean, it was pointless.
I think the other side of it was Sea Moon.
No.
Sea Moon.
No, Sea Moon was on the other side of High, High, High.
High, High, High.
Which actually was quite a good song.
Yeah, you're absolutely
but
right.
But High, High, I'll tell you why I know that, because I've got still got the single.
Right.
And High, 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 funnily enough, was, in fact, banned.
Right.
And I never knew why it was banned.
What?
Was
high,
it banned
high, high.
Because of the...
Well, the inference was that you were high on drugs.
Yeah, but is that why it was banned?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely, yeah. Once the BBC banned one... Because remember that the BBC banned the Kinks record Lola because of the line, and it tasted just like Coca-Cola. And Ray Davis, right, who was the lead singer and songwriter of the Kinks, was in America on tour at the time.
Yeah.
And he was rung up in his hotel in Manhattan, said, you've got to come back. We can't release the single in England, because it was going to be promoted by the tour, until you re-sing the line about Coca-Cola and change it to Cherry Cola.
Oh, really?
Because if you listen to the
tastes
song
just
now,
like Cherry Cola.
Yeah, that's right. It said Coca-Cola, and they said, we can't for, you know, commercial reasons. So once the BBC banned your song was out. Because you've got to remember, Mike, in those days, Radio 1 was just about... Excuse me, the only place people listened to pop records. Excuse me, because
that's right.
because there were very, very few commercial stations.
Right.
And in fact, the only commercial stations early on were pirate stations like Luxembourg and Caroline and all that kind of stuff. You
exactly
know what I mean?
Right.
So well, anyway,
I was trying to find you a little a rendition of that. But
yeah, yeah. But anyway, look, what I was going to say to you was, McCartney did the first verse. You're absolutely right in that. And he did the last verse. And the last verse goes, why does the lamb love Mary so? Why does the lamb love Mary so? The eager children cry. Why Mary loves the lamb, you know, the teacher did reply. And you could hear them singing.
Yeah, what a load of rubbish, right?
Well, well yeah, you're absolutely
right. This is better.
Yeah.
Go on. Although this is a live version.
Yeah. What, he sung it in a live concert? He actually sung it in a live concert?
Well, no, no, this is Hi, Hi, Hi.
Oh, Hi, 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 yeah. Yeah. What's that got to do with Mary Had a Little Lamb?
Because I said this is about the only decent song that Wings did.
Oh, no, they did lots.
They
Jet.
Did. Yeah, Jet. Band on the Run wasn't bad.
Yeah, Band on the Run. Yeah, that's right. With a bootleg in your hand.
Yeah,
anyway, let's get back to...
I can't find Mary Had a Little Lamb.
I'll get back to Mary Had a Little Lamb, OK? So what happens is... in one of my literary journals,
a
noted, what's he called? Like, guy who studies literature, a noted professor, actually raises the question, this is one of the most contentious poems ever written in American history, and the question is asked, was there a real Mary, and did she have a little lamb?
Yes.
Now, the answer is, the nursery rhyme is attributed to Sarah Joseph Hale,
okay,
right, who lived nearly 100 years, from 1788 to 1879.
Yes.
And it was published as Mary's Lamb in 1830 in the book Poems for Our Children, okay?
Yeah.
Now, believe it or not, this is why this is could be so interesting to you and I, Sarah Hale was the editor and campaigner for a publication she put out, and it was a pamphlet only, called Thanksgiving, and demanded that a Thanksgiving Day be established as a national holiday to honour the establishment of the United States of America.
Right.
And the president at the time, and I'm not sure who he was, actually, who would it be in those days?
Well, like, do you know what?
Mm.
When we were talking about your Raise the Bar campaign,
yes,
which is a Two Mics TV campaign, right?
Yes.
And we talked about the year that the Football Association rules were drawn
1863.
Up. 1863.
1863. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when I was reading up on that year that it said that Thanksgiving was first then that year appropriated as a national holiday, right?
Well, that could have been 1863.
Now, which would mean, because I knew at that point that it was also the abolition of slavery,
That
mean it'd be Abe Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln, it would be.
It would be
Abraham
Lincoln.
Yeah, could well have been, yeah. But anyway... what's going on here is there's an investigation now in literary circles. I hope people are finding this interesting because
sure
I find it fascinating.
I'm sure they are.
Absolutely. That she wrote the first verse that Paul McCartney did.
Right.
And she wrote the last verse, which Paul McCartney did in his song, but he wouldn't touch the verses in between. And people wonder whether or not it's because the three verses in the middle were actually written by somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And was not her original. And they read like this. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rule.
Yes.
It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school.
Yes.
And so the teacher turned it out, but still it lingered near, and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. And those verses are not now to be included in the poem because they don't... A bit like all these conspiracy theories going about,
what are you
did
saying?
Shakespeare really write
so
these plays?
So you're saying that Paul McCartney included... I'm pretty sure Paul McCartney included those.
No,
lines,
I know he did.
I think he did because I remember the song really well. And in fact, I've now found it.
Yeah?
Right?
It followed her to school one day. You think he did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's in there.
Oh.
There you go.
Little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. Yeah.
I mean, this is proof positive, isn't it, that he was smoking a lot of dope?
Maybe,
Anyway.
Lamb was sure to go.
Yeah.
Now, Mary Hale was then... what happened next was a woman called Mary Sawyer turns up, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of Marys in this.
Yeah, right. So in 1876, a woman called Mary Sawyer said, I am the Mary in Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Okay.
This woman was a complete con woman.
Right.
She turns up and says to everybody, once Mary Hale, is it Mary Hale? Yeah. Yeah, was it Mary Hale? Sarah Hale. Sarah Hale
right.
had got Thanksgiving as a designated date. Mm. She became a national hero.
Okay.
This other woman, Mary Sawyer, then turns up. Right. I'm not joking, right, says, oh, I am the Mary, and the Mary had a little lamb.
Uh-huh.
And what's more, I still have a flock of lambs who are all descendants of the original, my original lamb.
Oh, yeah.
She then started selling knitted jumpers
uh-huh.
at massively expensive prices. Yeah. Like, you know, in those
what
days...
Was her name Parry, this woman?
No, Mary Parry. If the jumpers cost $1, a normal jumper costs like $1 in those days, which is still very expensive, probably more like 10 or 20 cents, she was selling her jumpers at $100 because they were knitted from the original wool...
Yeah. Of the little lamb.
Of the little lamb.
What a load of bollocks.
Of the little lamb.
That people fell for that.
Yeah, that's right. Of the little lamb that was the inspiration for Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh.
And that if you refused to buy one of these when she walked along the streets offering you one, you were unpatriotic, non-American, and could be carted off to jail.
But presumably people couldn't afford it. People couldn't afford $100 in those days.
Well, I think she used to go see good people, you know, like, you know, Lincoln's
rich
mates.
People.
Yeah, and all that,
when you say good people, you mean rich people.
That's right. Now, Sawyer made her claim when she was taking part in a fundraising effort to save the Old South Meeting House, which had been damaged in the Great Boston Fire of 1872, and told people it was to raise funds to rebuild Boston and rebuild the old meeting house.
So however, she's a con woman then, isn't
she? She became a millionaire on selling Mary Had a Little Lamb jumpers and cardigans.
Right.
For $100. You think that's a great story?
I think it's a shocking story.
Hey,
she should have been behind bars, this bloody woman, shouldn't she?
Yeah, she should have been behind bars. Now, this Mary Sawyer's claim led to doubts about the whole authorship of the original Sarah Hale poem, right? Because she was found out to be a con woman.
Mm.
And critics then examined the poem and literary experts pointed out style differences between the first verse...
Uh-huh.
And the next three.
So what, you think two different people wrote it?
Two different people wrote it.
Really?
People think she might have expanded on the poem to make it a more popular, you know, presentation to the American people to buy her $100 jumpers.
Really?
Do you think that's incredible?
I think it is incredible.
Yeah.
Do you want to have another blast of the song?
Yeah, please. Yeah, that would be very good.
Stupid video as well, look. Very much. There's old Linda playing the tom-toms, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And some guy there playing the baluki as well.
The what?
The baluki.
Baluki?
Yeah.
The baluki.
You know, at the start of Wings, Paul McCartney took in all sorts of half-baked musicians who were all off their heads on drugs.
Yeah, well,
Drove around the country in the back of a transit van, and the first place they stopped was Nottingham University and played a free concert.
And were you there at the time?
No, I wasn't there at the time.
You keep missing it, don't you?
Yeah, I keep missing
Do you know
it.
That he's also doing a massive show?
Yeah.
He's on Paul McCartney, the same night as we are at Shepherd's Bush Empire, December the 16th. Right.
Well, he can't be doing it at the same venue as us.
Well, no, he's not doing it at the same
Where's
venue.
Where's he doing it?
He's doing it at the O2.
Oh, well, people won't go there. They'll come and see us.
Well, they'll come and see us at the Shelter's Empire.
Now, you know, last year at the Shelter's Empire, we borrowed a tree from Robbie Williams, didn't we?
We did. Was it Robbie Williams?
Yeah.
It was
Robbie Williams. He was on three nights later.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess who's on three nights later from us at the O2 this year?
Who?
Bjorn Again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the ABBA
tribute
group.
Band.
Yeah, and all their stuff is going to be in the theatre.
Is that right?
So you might find me in a pair of platform heels that night, mate, prancing around.
As long as you're not in a pair of gold lamé shorts.
Yeah, but as most people think, I look so much like Benny anyway.
You do, actually, yeah.
I'll get away with it.
You do, actually. Yeah, we need to get a Christmas tree organised, don't we?
We certainly do.
Yeah, we'll
and
get
it's not that far off, by the way. In fact, in one of my local boozers down in Stockbroker Bell, this very week, the table went up for Book Now for Christmas.
Did it?
Yeah, it certainly
did.
And by the way, I'm not knocking the landlady there. I know her well.
Yeah. Well, you're not knocking the landlady. That's good to know.
No.
Thanks,
landlady.
Thank God for that.
I know. Hello, lady. And I said to her, I admire entrepreneurship because you can bet your life other people are going
to
get in on it. So get in early.
I mean, to be honest, it has to be said that people do make plans quite that far in advance.
Of course they do.
And we've already sold quite a lot of tickets
We've
sold nearly half the tickets already.
We have.
So if you want to come, you better get your skates on because I reckon it will be sold out come about October time.
Get your skates on. You know? It will be sold out. It's going to be a great show.
It's very nearly August.
It's very nearly August, and
so
it's the
August,
only show.
October, November. You've got like
show
5 months.
This year. That's right. And once the summer holidays are over, you come back off your holiday, you think, right, we'll book our tickets now for the two mics.
Yeah.
We might have gone.
Well, indeed. Are you even having a summer holiday this year?
No.
You're not going to hop off to
Are you
Mallorca?
Going away somewhere for a week?
I'm actually staying in the country. I'm having what's called a staycation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you exactly where, obviously, yeah. because I don't want you following me, right?
Well.
But, the, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to do it
yeah.
is because when we were away in Greece at half term,
yes.
we all sat around and it was lovely, beautiful weather,
yeah.
gorgeous swimming pool, sea, sun, sand,
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
but there was no dog. And we missed the dog.
Missed the dog.
So we
dog
thought, you know what? Let's go somewhere we can take the dog.
So you might
so
go to Cornwall or somewhere?
It's somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere, we're in that direction.
Yeah.
The dog is coming all over this, which
would
be great.
Well, that would be great. Ziggy's a lovely dog.
He is.
I may well go to the northeast and further my plans for my retirement home.
You're supposed to be looking around for properties, are you not?
Oh, indeed, indeed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So have you had a start on that yet?
Yeah, I have, yeah. I've been to a place called Sea Houses.
Sea houses.
I think I
know that.
Is it
like a sort of fishing village?
Yes, it is, yeah. I've been at Tynemouth.
Yeah.
And I've been over further
Tynemouth's
north.
Tynemouth's nice.
Tynemouth's very
you
nice
You know what
indeed.
They've got there, which is great? They've got a fantastic and very unused golf course.
Oh, have they?
Tynemouth, yeah.
Really?
It's a really good links course.
Might have to take it
up
again.
Which actually is as good as any number of links courses that are played on the open circuit.
Well, there you
but
go.
Hardly anybody ever goes there.
See, you talked me into it.
Because they don't know.
Talking me into it.
We are the two mics. This has been On the Record.
We'll
be back with more very soon.
Thank you. So even the bishops, who are the like the House of Lords of the church, aren't they?
Well,
have been going around rogerising nuns.
No, specifically they mean Catholic bishops, right?
Hey?
Catholic bishops are not in the House of Lords, are they? I think it's only church.
No, I'm saying think of the House of Lords in terms of the elevated
You're not
levels. No,
the people in the House of Lords.
I'm certainly not accusing
Thank
them of the House
God
of Lords.
For that.
What I'm saying is, in the elevated hierarchy of the Church of England,
right.
bishops are like the House of Lords in politics.
Well,
I
went to Catholic school, right?
Yeah.
Both primary and secondary.
Right.
And in the primary school, we had nuns.
Yeah.
And every so often, the cardinal would come and pay a visit.
Yes.
Because in the Catholic Church, the cardinal is the big kind of, you know.
The cardinal.
Big name. And,
I am the cardinal.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
No, well, do as I tell you.
Well, all I could ever think about was, like, Cardinal Richelieu.
Yeah, Cardinal Richelieu,
you know,
who was meant to be around torturing people.
Yeah, he was really evil.
Yeah, he was
horrible,
evil.
You know.
I mean, he was kind of the French equivalent of the Spanish Inquisition, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Red hot pokers up the Jack Sea and all that, you know what I mean?
The Spanish Inquisition. Wasn't that woman from Utah, was it? That crazy woman from Utah.
No.
The naked skier, whatever it was.
Yeah. I'd have skied down Mount so-and-so with a carnation in my
she
nose.
She was a nun, wasn't she?
Was a member of the royal family involved with that?
I think it was.
I think she was stalking a member of the royal family.
I can't remember, but what was her name?
Somebody?
What was her name?
Yeah.
But she was from Utah.
Yeah, she was from Utah. She was a.
I mean, I can see her.
Yeah, I can see her now. Blonde girl with big rubberly red lips and all
that
kind of stuff. Yeah, and all kind of stuff. So you might find me in a pair of platform heels that night, mate, prancing around.